broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. You're listening to Full Service Radio. Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Direct Message with A Creative DC. We are live on Full Service Radio, broadcasting from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. You can listen in weekly every Wednesday at 1 p.m. You can also listen anytime at fullserviceradio.org. This weekly podcast is a dedicated dive into the A Creative DC hashtag feed. It's time spent with the people and projects who populate this city digitally in IRL. IRL is something we're going to talk a lot about today. I'm very excited to have my guest on. I am your host, Morgan West. I'm founder and director of the A Creative DC Project. You may have seen us on Instagram and Twitter at A Creative DC. And we've got nearly a million strong hashtag feed across social that's filled with events and visuals and design and art. So much art today on this Wednesday. But most importantly, the A Creative DC hashtag feed is filled with perspective on this city. This is episode 7 of Direct Message on Full Service Radio, and we are joined today by Ms. Nina O'Neill.
Hi, Morgan. Nice to see you.
Hi, Nina. Great to have you. So Nina's mission through her newly founded Monochrome Collective, pretty newly founded. End of last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. November-ish, perhaps.
It's official as of November.
Wonderful. So Monochrome Collective is Nina's project. She aims to create focused, style-driven visual experiences in personal surroundings through art, which I think is a very good description of what you do. I'm sure it took a long time to get
to
that description.
Took a long time to write that, yeah.
So through art, this is what she aims to do. So today we're going to find out exactly what that sentence means. We're going to talk about Nina's work in art institutions and her work on the local level. And we're really, I think the reason I'm so excited to have Nina here today is because she does what I think so many people need. She connects artists and collectors, right?
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely
like the golden ticket for what we do.
Yeah, my focus with Monochrome Collective since the beginning, and Monochrome Collective started in November, but before that, you know, seedlings of the idea existed, and I was just spending a lot of time trying to figure out what specifically was missing and how I could provide that, and I realized it is the mission of Monochrome, which is matching people and art. So the constant search for me, the exciting search for me, is really finding people who are interested in collecting art, but feel as if it might be too elite or complicated, or they need a PhD in art history to even begin looking for what they like. And matching those people who are excited to collect with artists who are creating beautiful things in DC, beyond DC. A lot of artists kind of create in a vacuum and don't have a great online presence and don't show their artwork to people, aren't represented by galleries. I really want to find people that are making beautiful things and match it with people that want it.
I love that. And I think what resonates with me especially about that is really about you're creating access, kind of is what you're doing, because I think a lot of people, and this is sort of, you know, sorry to anyone who has IKEA art on their wall, but this is why people are kind of shopping through IKEA for a nightstand and then kind of end up with something that is in thousands, hundreds of thousands of households.
This is the culture I'm trying to really persuade, doing my best to persuade people that the same Picasso print that is exceptionally wonderful, but it's a poster from IKEA. Yes, it looks popular. Maybe it looks like it's interesting to you, but if you don't love it, you just think it's what's supposed to be there. Mm. There's no joy. There's no pleasure in it.
Really,
I want people to collect things in their spaces they're excited to pass on when they're not on this earth anymore. I want people to love the stuff in their surroundings and it to bring them joy. So I'm really trying to make the match for people.
I love that. What a great way to kind of frame that. That was my pun. That was a pun. I did it on accident.
I got it.
All right. Framing. Sorry. I apologize to everyone. And Nina. But you were talking about kind of, you had the seedlings of this before. Let's kind of take a few steps back and let's start with your biography. So what's your past? Where did you grow up? Just addicted to visuals? I would assume yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, color has always kind of been at the center obsession of everything for me. I score very high on the color spectrum visual scale. So I
what
can
does that mean?
It means that I can see a lot more colors than other people can.
Wow.
Really weird, but fun when I found that out in middle school or something. Yeah. And I felt like it maybe formally expressed kind of my constant obsession with color, which is really nice. And I've just always been into the visuals, always been into placement and creation and finding a way for harmony and balance through visuals. It's been something I've been excited about since I was little. And, you know, my education focused on that. All of my jobs have focused on that.
Well, and you went to Catholic University.
I did. I moved to D.C. a long, long time ago. And it's been such a joy and a pleasure to watch it change since 2000. It's a beautiful, artistic, wonderful place to live and grow as a maturing adult. And really, I have found my artistic voice here. I mean, access to so many museums for free. Anyone who's lived here for a while doesn't take it for granted, because you realize you go anywhere else and it's $20, $25 a person to go in. And that makes it complicated for a lot of people to get to see this kind of caliber of art. DC is just full of it.
It absolutely is. And I think that, again, speaks to your point about access. Mm-hmm. You know, who are we kind of allowing... You know, DC is so special, I think, because of the low barriers or mm-hmm. lower barriers of access
Absolutely.
To our institutions.
Makes a really big difference.
So you went to Catholic University. What mm-hmm. was your major there?
It was art history and Italian.
Wow.
Yeah. I later went on to teach museum studies at Catholic U, which was lots of fun to go back in the same haunts and really just give back to someplace that gave so much to me. It was really great.
Wow. Okay. So you graduated Catholic.
Yes.
And then talking about institutions, you eventually ended up with the National Gallery of Art.
Never really thought that was going to happen. It was always one of those places that, you know, you end up at National Gallery to sit and do homework and enjoy the waterfall and the beautiful objects around you. Honestly, just a great source of luck in the application process through the federal government, which anybody who's done that knows that it's a nightmare. I ended up with two spectacular jobs there, meeting absolutely brilliant folks in their field, making amazing contacts and getting to be in a spectacular space with spectacular artwork every day.
Wow.
Really inspiring.
Yes, I would imagine. I mean, it is, I'm sorry to kind of land immediately on a kindergarten question, but what does it feel like to work there?
Really special. It feels really special. And you walk around and think of all the people that are just like you were a few years before, walking around, enjoying themselves so much in the space, and think, wow, I get to be a part of giving back to everybody who's in here.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your focus there? So two different jobs.
I worked in the exhibitions department, kind of helping to orchestrate and organize large-scale international traveling shows. Then I worked in the French paintings department, which is not my area of expertise. I do not have a PhD in art history, but I got to be around a lot of exceptionally smart people who do, mm-hmm. And learn from them in their field and do the kind of behind-the-scenes planning process for the French shows, which is a really very busy department there, and also a lot of traveling with art internationally, which was loads of fun, and I'm sure a whole other podcast episode
Truly,
for that.
Truly, I know. I was about to say, you know, I don't want to yada, yada, yada past this, but maybe we will a bit, because mm-hmm. this really, I think, what I love about what you just shared is it's just, you know, your education always continues,
it
right?
Does.
And so,
it does.
So
and you
were,
know, you focus on what you want to study, but I kind of feel like for anybody listening who isn't sure what they want to do when they grow up, figure out something that you feel like is under the umbrella of where your talents inherently lie, and just kind of try to keep things under that umbrella. There is no right or wrong. I never expected a career path. I certainly never expected, while having a comfortable, excellent government job, to want to go out on my own and strike up my own business. But you don't know where things are going to go, and you make connections along the way and cross your fingers and keep within your wheelhouse. It's a great way to unexpectedly find a path to what you really think you're good at.
It's brilliant advice, Nina. Thank you.
I should have told myself the same thing 20 years ago, but it worked out how it did. So it's great.
It did, and it worked out. So please, let's really dive into Monochrome. Mm-hmm. So it's Monochrome Collective. If people want to go right now to learn a little bit more about it while they listen to you, it is
MonochromeCollective.com.
Great.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, good work there. So what's your mission, Nina?
I mean, it's really, I want to help people start build and focus their collections. So collectors that haven't begun, everybody's a collector, everybody collects, but people that are interested in collecting art, I want them to feel totally comfortable coming to me, talking through what they're looking for, and beginning a collection. For those collectors who have a few pieces but don't really understand what the thread is, I'm so excited I get to spend time in people's homes, look through the pieces they've collected over time, and take the effort to figure out what the thread is, the common thread, and build from that.
That's so fascinating. Yeah. And so if anyone is just joining us, we're talking with Nina O'Neill of Monochrome Collective. She connects artists and collectors. And one of the things that you just said, Nina, that I think was so interesting is about figuring out what the common thread is through your art collection. And you said one of the joys is getting to talk to people about what they want. But do people, how many people know what they want?
No one, pretty much no one. I mean, I don't. It's I like to describe that what I do a lot of the time is probably characterized best as art couples therapy. This is a lot of going into houses and talking to two human beings who cohabitate a space and really have spent no time talking about the things on the walls. You realize that it's a, well, I will use myself as an example. The Venn diagram, the two circles that make up the art in our home, my husband and I have very different taste in art, but I know exactly what's in the middle of that Venn diagram. When I see something that fits in the middle, I buy it right away. I'm so excited to collect things like that because I know he's going to really love the things that I'm buying because I know what he's looking for. Wow. I mean, have you and your spouse talked about the art in your home before?
God, that's such a good question. I think yes. I mean, I am very, I have a very generous partner in terms of, I do spend a lot of time saying, I'm sorry that I'm like this, because I am very visuals driven, just as you said you were. But, you know, I think the places where we kind of come together the most on art is when it involves Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Okay. I'm really glad that you segued that way because the center of our Venn diagram is color and sci-fi.
Wow.
So I was at the WPA auction last year and I saw this exceptional work by Andrew Wodzanski. I'm going to get his name wrong. I apologize, Andrew. It is painting on top of an illustration of the bridge of the Starship Enterprise with the color wheel painted on it. And I saw it and I was like, well, there it is.
That's it.
That's what we're looking for. And, you know, I brought it home and I was so happy about that because I knew that it was going to be something that we both loved. So I spend a lot of time in people's houses kind of doing similar things, but trying to figure out what that common thread of something they both really enjoy is. And it really makes the big shift from this is mine to this thing's ours.
Wow. And so that's happening with every household that you walk into for the most part?
Yeah, it's not something that people talk about, you know. They find a couch they both think is comfortable, but don't really spend time to think about what's there. And a lot of people just fill walls, don't want a blank space, so they want to fill it. So there's a lot of that in my day-to-day job.
Wow, that's so interesting. So I think I'd like to, let's take a little bit of a local focus here, because I love that you just mentioned the WPA auction, and you know, you talked earlier about, you know, making art accessible. So how are you, you know, first of all, thank you for fighting the good fight and kind of helping spread, you know, kind of helping educate people that there are local options in addition to, you know, what is outside of the city. So I guess that's one of my, I don't know, quite know what my question is, but, you know, how much of a focus is that for you? Do you feel looped in on the local DC art scene? Do you feel part of it? Do you feel like you're alongside of it?
I mean, I'd like to think that I'm a part of it. I feel like there is so much going on that I never really think I'm in as deep as I want to be, but I try really hard to. But I mean, as far as collecting goes, you know, Hemp Hill's amazing. Transformers are amazing. Mm-hmm. Artist Proof is amazing. These are all wonderful galleries in DC that are presenting exceptional objects for purchase for people to build their collections. But the experience of going to a gallery is a very foreign thing to a lot of people, especially if they've never done it before and don't understand that the price points are so varied. So I'm really trying to build, I do a lot of pop-up temporary exhibitions. Mm. I want artists to feel comfortable showing their work, and I want the price point to feel a little more affordable for some people to buy original artworks. So I'm trying to provide that. In the meantime, you know, going to Miami to Art Basel is wonderful, but I don't want people to feel as if you have to go to New York, you have to go to Miami to make this a big grand gesture to buy artwork. It's fun to do it as an experiential getaway, but there's a lot of great options here. And it's great to connect with your local artists.
Yeah, wonderful. So what is, okay, so let's say, Nina, let's say that I realize that I've got some wall space to fill, as mm-hmm. you say, right? Mm-hmm. And I decide that I do want to be thoughtful about it. Mm-hmm. And so I bring you into the fold.
Yeah.
What does that experience look like for you? And what does that look like for me? And
we spend a lot of time starting with, and I know everyone has this because I have it, the art stack in the closet.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. I have that.
Everyone has that. And it's just less than they should be loved artwork. So we kind of start with the things that you've collected but haven't really taken the time to do anything with yet. Mm-hmm. And from that, I get a really good sense about what you're interested in, art you have collected and want to build from. Do a lot of reframing and re-presenting the objects that you have to find a way to showcase them, really highlight the things that you've bought along the way. And then from that idea, we build in artworks from brilliant artists who are making things right now.
Wow.
Add the collection.
So interesting. So are you like, I'm just relegated. So actually, okay, let me start here. I love what you said about kind of the gallery experience perhaps being intimidating to some people, because I consider myself a huge proponent of local artists and in DC arts and creative economy.
Yeah, have you ever been?
I have bought?
Okay.
But very, like fewer, like not as much as I feel mm-hmm. like I would have liked to or kind of should have. But I have, you know, had some investment pieces that I'm just so thrilled to have been able to kind of put my money there. And, you know, it is interesting, too, because you're in a city where people don't necessarily have, you know, 3,000 square foot.
No.
Well, some of them do, but.
Well, that's really not everybody's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just have a little bit of space. But what I'm trying to express to folks is the excitement of collecting art objects that they want to live with. I mean, if you get a $2,000 bonus from your job, let's spend it on an art object that is going to appreciate in value because it's going to appreciate in your appreciation of your space over time. You know, don't blow your money. I don't really care if you're just buying the art to impress Tinder dates or if you want to enjoy looking at it in your space. Buying art is a really smart investment and it really beautifies everyone's world.
Oh, I love that angle. But I mean, it truly is, you know, it's so interesting. I think for me, even talking about art can sometimes be a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in over my head. And when I was thinking about you coming here, I'm just like, oh man, I'm going to sound like a...
You're not, and you don't have to have a PhD to know what you like. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Anybody can go and buy something that they feel like really resonates with them. It exists. It's out there. It's just you have to take the initiative to accept the fact that IKEA is not IKEA. Poor IKEA. IKEA's art is not the tastemaker for everybody. It's very accessible, but maybe a little too accessible. Spend a little more money, spend a little bit of effort, and you can find something that is personalized to you and your style and make your space more of an experience that's for you.
That's great. And we all want that.
Yeah.
We do. Oh, so if you guys are just joining us, I am with Nina O'Neill of Monochrome Collective. She pairs artists with collectors to create style-driven visual experiences through art. We're going to take a little break, but as soon as we come back, we're going to talk to Nina about the logistics of her business, these temporary pop-up galleries that she talked about. I'm really excited to dive into that. I'm just going to figure out what's next for Nina O'Neill and Monochrome Collective. So you're listening to Full Service Radio. We will be right back with Direct Message.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to original music from Kedo. Find him on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/KIEDO. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Direct Message. We are here with Nina O'Neill of Monochrome Collective. She is doing the good work of creating access to art for people who want to collect it, or for really people who don't yet know that they want to collect it.
Everybody wants to collect.
Everybody
has a collection of something. Everybody wants to have things that bring them pleasure in their spaces. I'm just trying to help folks figure out what it is. I think that my talents really lie in finding a way, when people describe what they're looking for, to turn that into a visual. So I have a client who came up to me and said, what I'm really looking for is a lot of bright color and a good pop and neutral space, shapes, simplicity. I mean, these are just kind of words that are coming out of somebody's mouth. But you Google those words and you end up with nothing.
Right.
I mean, absolute garbage, and you feel overwhelmed, like you're not going to get anywhere. So for those of you listening that don't know this artist, I suggested and showed her visuals of Joseph Albers. Exceptionally talented artist who's working with color and basic shapes inside other shapes and just kind of working with the color spectrum. It is neutral, it is comfortable, it is simple. And as soon as she saw it, she said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
So you're an art Sherpa, Nina.
All right, we're doing the website.
There you go.
We're just going to say art Sherpa and let people figure it out.
I love that. So speaking of the website, I'm going to go in a little different order than I thought I was going to. But speaking of your website, I loved what you said earlier, because I think it's good advice for anybody in a creative career is basically just to kind of realize that, like, you need to be Googleable to a certain extent.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to have your whatever on there, but you need to kind of, creating access by being online is really helpful in 2018. So
absolutely.
We mentioned Nina's website earlier. It's monochromecollective.com. But you've done a pretty phenomenal job on there of talking about what you do and kind of drilling down into your services. And I would love to know what the process was for putting that website together.
The process was a very lengthy dive into folks that don't think like I do. I am not my market.
Smart.
I am not who is looking for art and doesn't have access to it. But there are a lot of people like that. So I spent a lot of time working with friends and friends of friends who I think are target clients, and figuring out from them words that they would look for, ways that they would want to be spoken to, so that they could feel like they were in command of the creativity of finding art objects. And I think the result is really a very user-friendly website that explains what my services are, so that somebody who's looking for someone to help them build a collection or start to collect art or give them access to artists' work, they don't feel intimidated by that.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's very successful, and it's funny to, you know, kind of spend so much time, I think, talking about your website, but I just can't underscore how important it is. I mean, all the time I have jobs or people like I need to hire or like find something for, and it's always kind of an uphill battle. So,
well, I mean, it's the first thing anybody does when they want to get to know somebody. You search for them, you search for information about them, and I represent what the business is on the website pretty plainly. And I think as things come up, as tweaks need to be made, I make them, because I really want anyone who's looking for this kind of a service to be able to find it and feel like it's for them.
Absolutely. That's something else too that I kind of always champion with people is, you know, if you're gonna be online, you know, by all means, if you have resources to put into it and not a lot of time, pay the resources, but it's gonna need to be updated.
All of the time.
Mm-hmm. So fascinating. Also, for the record, the photo of Nina on the website is phenomenal by Kate Warren.
Yeah, I look really fancy. Very important. Incredibly knowledgeable.
You look like an art Sherpa.
Well.
It's successful. So it's interesting, because I think we've talked a lot today about clients, really. Mm-hmm. But I'm really interested in what your experiences, you know, kind of anecdotally, like, what is it like to work directly with an artist? Are you purchasing through galleries or artists? Or
for the most part, I purchase from artists specifically. I mean, I'm going directly to the source. I do a lot of visits to artist studios. I see what they're working on. I love to give suggestions to artists along the way about how their web presence, how their artwork is translated to a screen, because that always doesn't, it doesn't always work so great. You know, I know what I'm looking at when I see their objects in person, but I'm excited for them to be able to sell. I don't represent artists. I feel like I'd be doing a huge disservice to them because I have my own business to worry about. But I really, I love being able to find objects that people are making that I think are marketable and find a way to, you know, get them into the right hands and the right spaces. So any artists who are listening, send me a message, send me an email directly, nina@monochromecollective.com. Do me a favor and put direct message in the subject line so I know that you are listening and I will pay close attention. But I'm excited to see what artists are making. Don't feel like you are relegated to hide in the vacuum of creativity. Your work, I know that, I mean, Morgan also is an artist. I have made things in the past. People that are creative rarely feel like their work is ever done. So don't be scared. Show what you're working on. Let's think about things in the process and see if we can get those into the hands of people who are excited to collect handmade, beautiful objects.
That's great advice, Nina. Well, I think, you know, something that, and let's now veer away from online because we talked about this earlier. I kind of mentioned it. IRL in real life is like a really big part of what you do, obviously.
Yeah.
So you are creating experiences, tangible experiences for people to experience art in their day to day.
Definitely.
But you are also creating experiences for people to interact with it in a different way. And Nina, this past November, right, just as she launched her business, you had a pop-up gallery. Is that a good way of putting it? A temporary gallery?
Absolutely.
At a Creative DC Brooklyn. So please tell us all about that.
You know, I was very excited to, I've always been following along with Photo DC Photo Week, and I feel like it's a really great way to shine a light on photography as a real fine art medium.
Yeah. And so Photo Week, Photo DC is a nonprofit. Yes, based on, and Photo Week is perhaps its own nonprofit. I'm garbling it. I should know this. One of our very dear mutual friends has been working on this for a long time.
We're trying not to mess it up.
Yeah, so it's Photo Week DC, and that's photo with an F if you want to look into that. But really, they show photography, full stop.
And I feel like anyone who is a real interested collector of art needs to understand that photography is a fine art in and of itself, and that, you know, cell phones, blah blah blah, it's made it complicated for people to really think, oh well, I could do that myself. You can't. I mean, look at really good photography. Really good photography is really good art. And I was very excited at that concept to be able to host an exhibition during Photo Week, to be able to showcase two photographers who I think are really brilliant and doing amazing work in and of themselves. And it was really just trying to find a way to highlight those objects and those artists and get the name out there as Monochrome Collective, being a way for people to access art that may not think they normally would have access to it.
It's amazing. And, you know, I think it should not go without saying, it was not truly, there was programming and there was a music component or an audio component, I should say, to that pop-up as well. So you full-on programmed the show.
Well, I mean, you know, I give a lot of credit to all of these steps along the way under the umbrella. I've learned from the best of the best on how to program and explain and display and really showcase artwork at the highest level. But I wanted to make sure that this felt like a multidisciplinary experiential show. So Taylor Ross Jordan, who goes by The Greatest Hoax, The Greatest Hoax on the internet.
He's good.
I sent him an explanation of kind of the series of art that I would have in the show and the order that it was going to be displayed. And I really admired the work that he was doing in beautiful ambient music. And I said, let's create a space that sounds like it is as a visual. And he wrote an absolutely mesmerizingly wonderful hour-long piece of music that gives you a little bit of time in front of each work, really the ebb and flow of how the art was hanging in the space, and it added so much and did a really, really I mean, really did a lot for the artworks and helped people that came to see the show to experience it in a different way.
So incredible. And I, you know, I kind of always refer back to this, because as it is probably become apparent, I know Nina personally, you know, we're in a book club together, but she's the, but when you go to the website and you look at it, style driven is a term that you lean on heavily in that bio. That's in the very first paragraph of your bio. And this is something that is very important. And, you know, I think what was so interesting about the pop-up that you did was it was very stylish and it just felt, you know, there was an elegance to it. And, you know, so how much, I don't know. I don't want to be like, you like clothes, Nina.
But no, but here's the thing. People are very comfortable creating their own physical personal style, which they represent as they walk around. This is what you wear. This is how you carry yourself. You always wear heels. You always wear sneakers. This is you as a person. I don't feel like people are as comfortable in their spaces. There's a lot of basic in the art world. There's a lot of like, oh, well, I think I'm supposed to have this rug or this picture on the wall. I've seen it in magazines, so I feel like I should have it. People take risks with their clothing and their physical expression of themselves. I want to really help people to translate that into their home spaces, their office spaces, the spaces they spend time in.
It's a great analogy. A really good, really good one.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. So I love, you know, again, the pop-up was wonderful. So do you have anything like that on the calendar for 2018?
2018 is
what are you doing?
Busy.
What are you doing this year, Nina?
I am helping people and helping individuals and businesses and doing all of that, which is great, great, great. Lots of fun. But I have set up my business so that I do a little bit of that kind of selfish exhibition work that I really love to do. So I have a couple shows coming up in the future, but the next coming up is a drawings exhibition, which will be late spring. And what I'm trying to focus on here is artists who primarily work in different media. I mean, artists that are listening, everybody had to take drawing classes. This is foundation for art. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to take artists that work in different media now to go back to their roots, to do some drawings. And the neat thing is it's going to be all originals and all really, really, really affordable price points. All three reallys were absolutely necessary. I want people to feel like they can buy original pieces of art that that really speak to them, but they can afford it. So I'm excited to do that in the future. Later on, at the end of the calendar year, I'm in the process of working on an exhibition that I'm calling, working title, Women in Light. This is female artists who are primarily working with light as a medium.
Beautiful.
So neon, experiential spaces, so cool. Interior design with light. So this is really a neat segue into things in the future. It's not all Dan Flavin and Villarreal, although they're exceptionally talented. The ladies are doing it too. So absolutely. I'm really excited to show that.
Oh, that's thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to that.
Me too.
But you have something tonight, right?
Yes, I do. Wednesday. This evening, actually, I have an installation that's up right now at the Lemon Collective, speaking of people who are helping to get art to the people and get people to be creative. So this evening from 5 to 7:30, the Lemon Collective, we're celebrating an installation of art by Lisa Noble. And she's really a brilliant painter who also does some drawings, but I'm particularly drawn to her paintings. This series that she's put together is really great. I would like to describe them as kind of self-portraits of her past through interiors. These are interior spaces that she's basing off of photographs of spaces throughout her life that are moments that are no longer there. Wow. So this is photographs of spaces that, you know, through her childhood don't look like that anymore, but they have a very strong sentimental component to them, and it really comes across. They're exceptionally beautiful.
Lisa Noble, N-O-B-L-E.
Yes, and if you go to monochromecollective.com, you'll see all the information on her work. Monochrome.collective on Instagram. You can follow along with Lisa Noble. I don't want to butcher her Instagram handle, so go there and we'll connect to it.
So you can do your own research, people.
Making you do homework.
That sounds so great, though. So if tonight, February 20th, for those of you who are, don't go to the Lemon Bowl. Is it the 21st?
Mm-hmm.
The 21st.
February 21st.
Confusing your airwaves,
yes,
people.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
February 21st, 5 to 7:30 at the Lemon Collective in D.C. Everything's on Monochrome Collective to link to it for information if you want it. But
wonderful.
Come say hi to me. Come see Lisa's work. It's really exceptional. And if you are in the market for buying art, come by and check it out.
I love that. Very cool. Just creating access, Nina. That's what you're
working
doing.
Working on it.
So I think we're headed towards the end of our time, but there's two things that I want to make sure that we talk about.
Okay.
Nina has I want to talk about hats, Nina.
Wow.
Can you just give me a little, just a sentence for the people?
A sentence for the people is that everybody's good at a lot of different things, and I kind of by accident, through, you know, association, my grandmother was a milliner when she was young in London, and I never really knew that I knew how to make hats, but then I did.
It turns out.
And I started making hats and made them for people, and they've been on TV, and it felt like a wonderful window into a step under my umbrella I never expected. So
interesting. I love this umbrella analogy. It's
nice.
Very good.
It's nice and safe under there, though.
Yeah. She's also underplaying it, too. I mean, they were featured on Gossip Girl, and everyone loves them, and she had a bridal collection, and it's a very DC thing, Nina. Everyone has 47 lives under their umbrella.
Yeah. And I'm very proud of all of them along the way. It's great.
It's wonderful.
It's a really good thing.
And so you've been in Washington now for 18 years in DC.
Yeah.
We end every episode really kind of asking people to share one thing that they kind of wish people knew about their creative DC. And it doesn't have to be a mega thesis or an essay. Like, it can just be a recommendation, or it can be a tip, or it can be something you still find surprising. So what is that? What is that thing for you, Nina?
Okay, so I still find it surprising how much I love Brookland. I went to Catholic U, and it's a completely different planet than it was when I first went to school there. But it's a beautiful place. It's a very neighborhoody place, and it's a great visit for those of you that live in the district and haven't made your way over. I highly recommend it.
I love that. I co-sign that.
I also highly recommend going to Copycat for cocktails on H Street if you haven't yet.
Nina and her husband are longtime H Street folks. So
it's a good place to live.
I take your recommendations. Mm-hmm. I do not take them lightly, I should say. Well, Nina, thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
so
it's been a treat.
We've plugged the heck out of the website, but I'm going to do it one more time. MonochromeCollective.com. You are on social.
Yes.
At monochrome.collective.
Yep.
And everyone, please make sure you check out what Nina is doing. It's so interesting because I just love the fact that it's just this wonderful example of kind of women-owned business in D.C. And then you are also really, again, creating access for folks who need to know how to spend their money on local art.
Yeah, but it's not just spending money. It's spending money on stuff you're going to enjoy.
And investing, I think, was a really lovely way that you put it earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I didn't mean to break your story.
No. You did it right.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Nina. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Great talking about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so for all of you listening, that's it today. Thanks so much for joining us. You can expect Direct Message weekly. We'll be back next week. You can catch us Wednesdays at 1 live on Full Service Radio, or anytime at fullserviceradio.org. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at A Creative DC, and online at acreativedc.com. This project would not exist without perspective outside of our own, and we are so grateful to be able to work with our friends here at Full Service Radio to take these weekly dives into the A Creative DC hashtag feed. You can follow along with Full Service Radio. They are a megaphone for what is happening in this city. You can follow along at fullserviceradio.org, at Full Service Radio on Instagram, and at Full Service RDO on Twitter. Till next week, I'm Morgan West, and this has been Direct Message with A Creative DC.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.